about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
10.
9.
8.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
Tahoo.
1.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin DeBean Show, and it's 25 minutes after 6 o'clock.
You can't go to any more Kings games.
No, you're not allowed to go out at all anymore.
You're not allowed.
It's not that I went to the Kings game. It's that I came, got home about midnight.
You got on a party bus afterwards?
Party.
Has anyone ever known a good person named Kevin?
Halloween spooks outside my window. Yeah.
Omar, come on.
And now,
Omar Khan, facing 69 felony counts.
Everything's going to be okay, right?
Our feature presentation.
And now, a moment with Bean.
We're talking about The Walking Dead, which returns on AMC this Sunday night.
Nope. A week from Sunday.
A week from Sunday, I apologize.
October 14th.
On AMC. We're going to have David Morrissey in next hour, who plays the governor.
Next week.
Who is a new...
What the hell's wrong with you?
Dude, you got issues.
That was A Moment with Bean.
To start off hearing that,
I good think times. That's well done.
That's
yes.
spectacular.
I think that one's going to make the top 10 of the year too.
Well, rarely do you make two mistakes, let alone back to back within 15 seconds.
Right?
Yeah, I was not having a good week.
Good morning, everybody.
Not at all.
It is a brand new Kevin DeBean Show. It's a Wednesday morning.
It is indeed. Got a great story for you here today. By the way, Beer Mug's not still working for us, is he?
Oh yeah,
he's right there.
Hey. He's still here.
Yeah. Oh sure. Yeah.
I just.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know what a lot of disgraced people do is they resign. They do the honorable thing and they resign. They don't wait to be fired.
If we were in Japan, he would have done that on the first day.
Exactly. Would have taken his sword and done what's right. But I mean, you look at so many cases. You look at guys like Joe Paterno. You know, as the public's sentiment is turning against him, and he realizes he's become nothing but a distraction to the school and the team. He goes, I'm going to do the right thing for the organization, and I'm going to step aside and
Lance
not be
Armstrong.
A problem. Lance Armstrong, great example. Yes, thank you, Lisa. Just history's great men know when to step aside.
You're not trying to force Beer Mug into the category of history's great men, are you?
Self-deport. That's what we're saying.
He needs to self-deport, as Mitt Romney said last night. Right, and then we need to put him in a binder full of women. All right, this is a story that you're going to love so much, Kevin. People will drink anything if they don't have alcohol available. If they don't have, you know, whatever their first choice is, they'll look for things that they can drink that is, you know, give them the cheap high and the quick death, right?
Sure. Quick high, cheap death is what we're looking for.
Here's a story out of Connecticut I think you'll enjoy very much.
Police say it all happened here on Rapallo Avenue last Friday night in Middletown. They stopped 36-year-old Jennifer Wilcox for erratic driving.
What was she drinking, do you suppose, by the way, with this erratic driving charge?
Oh, God.
She admitted to drinking.
What was she drinking? Kerosene.
Yeah, because you would say if what she drinks normally is not available, I would say NyQuil.
NyQuil? Beer Mug, you got a guess?
I'm going to go, I don't know.
Rubbing alcohol. 10.
Rubbing alcohol.
Okay. I think Mugs might actually be closest.
Hand sanitizer and then blew a .17.
What?
A .17 on hand sanitizer, by the way.
Oh, my God. That is nasty.
How much could she have had?
Well, that's all? What's interesting about the story. And by the way, well, we'll do that part of the story, and then I'll tell you something else.
We did talk to her about it at her home. She did not want us to show her face on camera.
Okay. Now, I love this woman. Because she has a very reasonable explanation as to why she decided to drink all that hand sanitizer.
I just saw it there, so I drank it.
Wait a minute, what did she say?
I just saw it there,
so I drank it.
So I drank it.
Again?
I just saw it there, so... I drink it.
I love her so much.
Now I'm so ticked that they wouldn't let her show her face either, too, because I want to marry her, but I'd like to, you know, have some advanced look.
That's so hard.
How much did you drink?
Half a bottle.
Was it one of the big bottles or like a small bottle?
Yeah, a big bottle.
A big bottle, like a gallon size.
Yeah. I don't know. No, not a gallon.
Not a gallon. Thank God, not a gallon, by the way.
I don't think there is a gallon size.
I don't think so either. Why would he ask a gallon size?
I don't know.
I don't know. What's he doing at his house with a gallon?
Well, probably because of the 0.17 is unbelievably high.
Yeah.
Well, you're about to be shocked by how little she drank compared to how drunk she got.
I don't know how big it was.
Now, here's the startling thing. Here at the emergency department at St. Francis Hospital, this small bottle, 2 ounces of hand sanitizer, is the equivalent, the doctor says, of 4 shots of vodka.
That's a little tiny 2-ounce bottle. Drink that. It's 4 shots of vodka. She drank one, I'm estimating, based on the one he held up. He didn't say, but it looked like it was probably 24 ounces, maybe. That's what she drank?
She drank a half a bottle of this. This is the equivalent of 32 shots of vodka. So picture all of the vodka going into your system. He says the side effects are also severe.
So he's talking to a doctor now about how much alcohol is in this thing and what it can do to you.
They're not really breathing properly. They're really, almost, you know, severely intoxicated. They're not conscious. They might vomit. Some of that vomit is end up in their lungs, and they become really, really sick.
By the way, the back of the bottle of hand sanitizer that they showed on the news had in the ingredients alcohol 65%.
Wow!
I guess that's why it evaporates so quickly.
Yes, we need to start drinking hand sanitizer. I think the takeaway from this article is not don't drink hand sanitizer. It's drink hand sanitizer.
I think we don't, but I think one of us, Bean, should.
Just to try it out.
It's sure cheaper than vodka. One of those little things is like 99 cents. Half a bottle of that is like how many shots?
But four shots of vodka.
But
it tastes like ass.
Yeah, but a lot of drinks do.
Well, no one said it tasted bad.
Is all the vodka in the world gone?
But as Lisa points out, it's cheaper, it's easier to buy, and it gets you drunker faster. For a lot of people, that's what they're looking for.
Cheap, high, quick death.
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah. And I noticed, by the way, I don't know if you guys are watching Boss on Starz, the Kelsey Grammer show.
Catching up on it, yeah, it's so good.
So great. Well, Kelsey Grammer's daughter is a drug addict, and she's under house arrest. And there was an episode last week or the week before where she was just spazzing out, and she was, you know, needed something, and she grabbed the hand sanitizer. Somebody stopped her before she was able to drink it, but she went for the hand sanitizer, too. So I guess it's widely known that's where you go.
Now it's a thing.
So good times.
Bath salts and hand sanitizer. You don't ever have to leave the bathroom.
It's not a thing, people.
With Lisa, it should be a thing.
Oh, my God.
Look, you drink it because it's there. That's why you do it.
That's so hot.
I do love that explanation. That is amazingly simple. Why did you drink it? Well, I saw it.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
No!
Okay. On today's program, we have Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
This Week in Rage. We're going to talk about celebrity endorsements for president. All these celebrities are coming out, and they're telling us who they're voting for president. And Bean and I were talking yesterday. I can't imagine a world where one person is swayed by a celebrity.
Don't you think Oprah probably sways people?
Absolutely.
Well, maybe so, because she's sort of a religion. So, maybe so.
So there might be a few people.
But not most of the celebrities that are coming out.
No.
But you say that, and when we had the conversation yesterday, it was before Octomom weighed in.
I didn't know she had an opinion.
Octomom, yeah. Now that Octomom has weighed in, whatever she's voting, I'm voting. I mean, that's just how I roll.
Close attention.
You do have to go. You follow. When you think politics, you think Octomom.
Of course.
So we'll talk about that today. Plus, we have comedian Joe Rogan in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best.
UFC announcer as well. What's going on with the peanut butter recall? Give you an update. Ralph's very upset about that. I'm going to try and figure out what I'm wearing for Halloween. Maybe you can help me in about a half hour. I have some ideas, but I don't like dressing up for Halloween. But we have a party that we're going to where we have to dress up for Halloween.
Right.
And we're going to talk to Chuck Lorre in the 6 o'clock hour as well, who, of course, created 2.5 Men and a bunch of other TV shows. He's got
Big Bang Theory, I think, is one of his. Yeah. Mike and Molly. He's got a lot of television on the air right now.
He's got a new book called What Doesn't Kill Us Makes Us Bitter. So we're going to talk to him coming up as well. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show. That is AWOL Nation, and it is 5:52.
That song's creepy. I don't care for it.
I like good. That song.
5:51. It's Wednesday. Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's happening?
Well, just because they have half a dozen or so ankle biters doesn't mean that Brad and Angelina aren't still as sexy as ever. F these people.
It does get tiresome.
Oh, their looks and their perfect kids of many nations and their U.S. ambassadorships and their life-saving building homes in the Louisiana. And just turning wine, water into wine, and loaves
think they
into
can
fishes.
Do that.
They do it.
Huh.
Now, apparently, on their private estate in France, they have taken an old fisherman's shack and converted it into a private love bungalow, complete with a bed, a sex swing, and a chest full of sex toys.
All right.
Word is they also splurged on soundproofing the structure. Upgrades came to a tally of about $40,000 to make the conversion. But now they have their own private sex shack where they can just go and just have sex all day long because they're just saving the world and having sex and adopting children and winning Oscars and making movies. F you, Brad and Angelina.
You think they have too much?
Yes! The rest of us are just trying to make it through the day. You gotta pray just to make it today. Denise Richards says that she is being discriminated against because she was married to Charlie Sheen.
Really?
I hold it against her.
Why?
New York Post says she's got a new show called Socio that she stars in over at ABC Family. She says the producers there refused to let her audition for the show initially, thanks to all the bad press that the winning Warlock received recently. She said a casting director had to step in and put a good word in and talk about what a dedicated actress she is, and she was allowed to finally come in and audition. She nailed the part, and now she's set to star as the mother of a teenager that's fresh out of jail.
Maybe they saw her act.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe they saw that Bond movie she was in. Said, let's just blame it on Charlie Sheen. We'll save her feelings. But she's got the gig, so apparently she was good enough to get it. Looks like Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson, seen yet again, hanging out with a group of friends in Hollywood this week. This is the third outing this week they've been caught in public. So love is back on the bloom, ladies and gentlemen.
Sure.
They are. They have surmounted their problems, and now...
Let's make a note the day after Twilight comes out.
How dare you,
pay attention
cynical,
to what's going on.
Cynical bastard. Love is forever, Kevin.
Well,
of course,
not
if
usually.
You're Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman. Danny DeVito, according to Radar Online, has been out testing Porsches and Ferraris this week. The newly single actor at 67 years old is having a bit of a midlife crisis. Can it really be a midlife crisis at 67?
No.
A
late life.
Late life crisis?
Yeah.
Word is he wants an easy, carefree, sexy life like his buddy Jack Nicholson has. Well, yeah, we all want that, Danny DeVito.
Sure.
But we can't all have it. He says he's enjoying his new freedom to do whatever he wants. Yeah, at 67, though, what can you really do?
Yeah.
You can catch the early bird special and then take a nap.
That's true.
That's about the end of it. And just a lot of bad news in celebrity romance. Russell Crowe and his wife of many years, Danielle Spencer, are calling it quits. Some people are speculating that Danielle's partner on the Australian version of Dancing with the Stars is to blame. Damien Whitewood is his name. Apparently he's a hunky ballroom dancer, and speculation is there may have been more than just dancing between him and Danielle. However, he sent out a tweet saying, "Crazy day full of rumors I didn't ask for," claiming that he had nothing to do with getting in the way between the two of them. But
have you seen Russell lately, by the way, Ralph?
I have seen Russell lately.
He looks like a homeless guy. I mean, I know he's playing Noah in that movie, he just looks fat with a big bushy gray beard. Yeah. I wondered if that had anything to do with it.
I don't know.
Just he looks super unattractive for a long time. Can't help the marriage.
I just know he's making 25. She's going to make about $25 million from the split. They're saying so.
You usually have a bead on what a person would be like to be married to, and it doesn't seem like he would be
he's a good time.
A picnic.
He seems cranky.
He's a good time. You don't know, man. You don't know.
I know, but I'm guessing.
And motherhood is better to some women than others.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Alexandria Ambrosio.
Yes.
She just got tapped by Victoria's Secret to be the model who gets to wear their fantasy bra every year at the annual holiday runway show for Victoria's Secret. They have one of these bras that is bejeweled and loaded up with all kinds of precious gems.
Don't they cost like crazy money?
Yeah, the one she's going to be wearing is $2.5 million. It's a $2.5 million bra.
And they're so comfortable.
You can usually only afford a couple of those or three.
Yeah, you know. Well, sometimes they have a sale. This year's bra is handset with the amethyst, sapphires, rubies, and diamonds, including a 20-carat white diamond in the center. 5,200 precious gems all over the bra.
That does sound comfortable.
Here's the thing. When they picked her, she was in the middle of breastfeeding her then 3-week-old son when they gave her the honor. So she said she immediately just had to drop the child and start doing yoga and cardio cramming, and she lost all the baby weight in the span of a couple months.
But doesn't a lot of that come from the boobs?
I would think so. But if she's breastfeeding, though, they're still filled with milk.
Yeah.
But she lost in a ridiculous amount of time, she lost the baby weight.
Yeah.
I'm guessing in probably not the healthiest way she lost the baby weight.
Probably not.
But she'll be on the runway wearing a $2.5 million bra. And really, when you think about it, we need your breasts much more than your baby does in Alexandria.
That's true.
So I'm glad you abandoned your child and got right back into the gym.
It doesn't
so you could
say
be walking the red carpet.
Doesn't say anywhere, though, that she abandoned her kid.
But come on. Full-time, back into the modeling thing, getting back in the gym. It's not like she's, you know, playing coochie-coo, for God's sakes. Today's celebrity birthdays, Michael McKean, one of the best. Just a super talented, funny improviser, actor, known, of course, for This is Spinal Tap, all the Chris Guest movies. Back in the day, he was Lenny of Lenny and Squiggy and the Laverne and Shirley Show, 65 years old today. George Wendt from Cheers is 64. Rob Marshall, very talented director who gave us Chicago and Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, is 52. Mike Judge, the man who invented Beavis and Butthead in King of the Hill, is 50 years old. Comedian Norm MacDonald is 49. Ziggy Marley, son of the legend, a reggae singer in his own right, is 44. Eminem celebrates his 40th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 6.
I'm sorry, if you're complaining about Halloween spooks, you cannot do that if you're now also trying to figure out what to be for Halloween. Halloween. The other guy always comes on and goes, oh, it's too early. Oh, it's still 2 weeks away. Things are gonna happen. But this is when people are thinking about Halloween.
Ooh, ah, ooh, ah. I don't have to think about Halloween this way.
Halloween spooks outside my window. Halloween spooks. Behind the tree, I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
Blue,
what's that?
Blue, what's the problem, Monkey? What's the problem, Derpy Hooves? What's going on in your life? What do you need help with?
I don't like dressing up. I love Halloween, but I don't like dressing up. It's just too much work.
They're easy to separate.
B, we're going to a party as a couple to somebody's house.
It's a couple of what?
That's a good question. Yeah. As for a Halloween party, mm-hmm. and dress is not optional, so you have to dress up as something for Halloween.
Good.
So what do we dress up as? And we were trying to figure it out. You know, it has to be something that kind of fits both people, which makes it way more difficult.
Oh, so you
if it's a couple's thing.
Are you guys insisting on going with complimentary costumes that work as a pair?
Yeah.
Or no? Oh, you are?
Preferably. I just took for granted we would, but we certainly don't have to.
Look, I mean, not everybody does. Sometimes the guy has his costume, girl has hers, and they're not related. They're just both great costumes. So, I mean, that does make a difference with trying to help.
You're
you
not
going to
spend much time together at the party and barely talk to each other, so you really don't need like a couple's costume. You can just go your separate ways and have a good time.
I don't really care to match, but I just, here's what I want. I want maximum impact with minimum effort.
Yeah, I think minimum effort is the key part of what you really want, given what you were thinking of doing the other day, which was just horrible, hideous.
This is what I was thinking of doing the other day.
Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Open Gangnam Style.
What's the problem with being Psy? He's one of the most recognizable pop culture figures in the world right now. He couldn't be any hotter with that gang.
He is. His face is. He is.
Right?
By the way, even if he was walking down the street, you wouldn't know it was him. But
I would.
You would know Psy.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to take you down to Koreatown, and I'm going to have Psy walk down the street, and I'm going to have you stand on the street, and you pick him out. I'll give you $1,000.
He's the Korean guy. He's easy to find, okay. Ralph.
It's the number one. Is it number one or number two in the country?
Look, I know it's a popular song. Are you going to sing the song all night long at the party?
Well, that's
the only way people will know who you are.
I don't believe that. I
think
you're wrong.
Because he doesn't have a discernible costume. He's got like 18 costumes he wears in that video.
I believe you're wrong on that.
And you are a very, very white blonde-haired guy.
How dare you?
So if you put on a bad tuxedo,
You're just going to be the blonde-haired guy in the bad tuxedo.
Ralph,
so for the rest of the night, you'll be explaining, no, I'm Psy. No, I'm Psy. We'll do the dance. No, I'm not going to do the
dance. See, that's the problem, is that if I go as Psy, then everybody's going to make me dance all night. And you know I love to dance. I was a founding member of the Jabberwockies. But, you know, it gets old at the end of the night after everybody's asking you to do that dance.
You got to do this.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to do that.
So maybe that's too active.
So you're just the dope in the bad tux.
Would this convince you?
Open Gangnam Style.
No!
How about the Psy Gangnam Style Ghostbusters mix, by the way? Let me play about 15 seconds of this, then we'll get back to this conversation. I think you'll like it.
Hey, sexy lady.
How that helps you when you're out there on the dance floor in your little outfit, but it's pretty cool that it's a Halloween thing already.
So,
right?
So I go as Psy, and then she goes as a Ghostbuster.
Yeah, she goes as Slimer, and there's you go as Venkman in a tuxedo doing the dance with a proton pack.
And that's going to take away the I have to explain
nothing
everything
would be
to
more
people.
Confusing.
See, there's this song, and they mashed it up, and so let me play it for you on my iPod.
I'm just saying, you want to just put on a tuxedo because it's easy and it's low
effort. I like
effort,
easy. I like low effort.
You're going to put a sign around your neck that says Psy on it or something. You'll just
good.
Walk around.
Sign like, around my neck. That's look, perfect.
See, I hate those costumes.
I know you do. But
commit. Do or do not, sir.
Do you have a pack of cigarettes and some keys you can put on your
like
belt?
I'm a lesbian.
Like Lisa did when she was a lesbian?
Somehow lesbian and keys equal lesbian.
We'll take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. It's not kids costumes that we're looking for. It's adult costumes.
But you want couples costumes. That's your first choice,
I
right?
believe she would like that.
Like, you sure, could be Brad and Angelina, for instance, if you wanted to.
Yeah, easily. I could be Brad and Angelina. Well, we could just go as ourselves.
Yeah, if Kevin puts on a dress that has a high slit skirt and he just sticks his right leg out, I would buy him as Angelina.
I could be.
Before we take a couple calls for couples costumes, here's a couple that maybe aren't couples that we've heard from our listeners already. You can call us at 1-800-520-1067. From Facebook, Jamie says in the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, you should go as June, Honey Boo Boo's mom.
Sounds like a lot of prosthetics.
Yeah.
A lot of latex.
And then poor Melissa would have to be Honey Boo Boo. So it's going to be a couple. That's no good. All right. How about our little friend Brad Williams, who writes in, Kevin should go as cardiac arrest for Halloween. That way he can officially be the guy who killed Michael Clark Duncan.
Hey, hey, hey.
Zing.
Again, I don't know how that helps your wife unless she wants to be Omarosa. I think it puts her in a tight spot.
It's also
too,
a lot of explanation needed.
Yeah,
I don't want to have to
be obvious.
Every single person you come up to, you don't want to have to go, well, this
is. You don't want to hand out a pamphlet.
This represents.
To everyone who sees you that has the detailed description of what you are in it. Don't want to leave behind.
Are you and the wife doing any kind of couples costume thing this year?
We're doing Hollywood Babylon on the 27th at the Lovitz. We're going to do a Halloween show that night, so I will be coming in costume that night, yes.
And you're not going to tell us what you're going to be?
No, I will not.
Because I'd like to steal it. Different party.
That's a surprise.
Different party entirely.
Yes, very much so. Hmm.
Let's go to Richard. He's on line two. He has an evergreen. It's not tied into the headlines or the celebrities of the day, but let's see how it works. Hi, Richard. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Let's just thinking you guys could be the outlet. You could be the male outlet. She could be the female outlet. She just has a sign that says, turn me on, and then you plug into her.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going on here.
So I'm a plug, and she's a socket?
You're a three-pronged outlet, baby. Yeah.
And she's a hole in the wall.
Wow. I hate couples costumes. I really hate
I'm not a fan of it either.
Great idea from Crystal, line four. Kevin, you're going to love it. Crystal, Kevin and his wife going to a party. What do you think?
I think you should be the sheriff from Walking Dead and your wife should be a zombie.
Boom.
Strong.
Nice.
Boom.
That would be awesome.
You got the outfit and a little dirt on your face and everything. She's the one who has
it's
to do all the work.
It's easy for me. She has to do all the work.
She will not want to be the zombie.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. Chicks do not like to be the zombies at parties. They want to wear something sexy and attractive.
Sexy zombie.
Look, sexy zombie.
I'm going to be sexy Rick.
But you should be a zombie.
One of your friends
is Rick Baker, Academy Award-winning makeup artist. Call in a favor and have the man do you up and do it right.
But then who is she then? Is she Rick?
She could be a zombie too. You guys could both be zombies.
That's not bad.
She could be a sexy zombie.
You could be a pet zombie. She could put you on a chain, take your jaw off, and then you'd be good
to
go.
No arms.
No arms. You're a good time right there.
That's not bad. That's a good idea, Crystal. Thank you.
No problem.
All right, bye.
And you love The Walking Dead, too. I mean, that's something you wouldn't mind talking about all night either. So there you go. That's a good hint.
That's not bad. Let's go to Molly and see.
Can you be a zombie that does Gangnam Style, though?
Gangnam Style.
Psy zombie. Molly, hi.
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 Good morning.
Hi.
What should Kevin be for Halloween, Molly?
So a couple of years ago, me and my boyfriend went to West Hollywood for Halloween, and we ended up dressing up like Insane Clown Posse.
I like it. And no one knows who you are.
No, we had a ton of people who knew we were.
No,
Did you do the Juggalo face paint thing? Is that what you did?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We found fellow Juggalos, and it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's that different from your everyday life, though, Molly? That's what I want to know. Supposed
Kevin
to be a holiday.
No, nobody at the party would know who he was if he was behind all that makeup. I think that's what his point was. Same thing if you're Kiss or something.
Yeah. Oh, Kiss. You could be Gene Simmons.
Thank you, Molly. I do have the tongue for that.
Yes, you do.
Let's try one
go
more.
Go trying to sell people things all night.
Let's try Hector. Hi, Hector.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think?
John Mayer, Taylor Swift.
Oh,
John Mayer, Taylor Swift.
But I hate Tadoff Swindler so much.
Awesome.
Well, Kevin's wife has said to him, we're never, ever getting back together. So
exactly. That's
appropriate.
Chuck Lorre, who's one of the brains behind a lot of TV shows that are on the air, like Mike and Molly, The Big Bang Theory, Two and a Half Men, he's got a new book out. We'll talk to him about that and some things going on in TV in about 15 minutes or so right here on The Kevin Devine Show. First, though, here's the words you don't want to read in a news article. Updates on this recall can be found at the Centers for Disease Control.
Yeah.
And this time it's peanuts. Who doesn't love peanut butter? Maybe the greatest food in the world, by the way.
There's a Sunland Incorporated is the company behind the peanut butter recalled in September and now has issued a voluntary recall of all peanut butter and raw or roasted peanut products.
Wow.
What? I don't know much about how peanut butter is made, but it seems like peanuts would be cooked before they would go in. What's causing the salmonella? Usually salmonella, in my mind, is things that are not cooked or undercooked.
I don't know, but there was a salmonella outbreak, and that's when they started to recall it. And I don't want to live in a world without any peanut butter.
No, I don't either. Sunland is one of the brands that's affected that the Sunland company also makes. Also, their products go to Archer Farms, Kirkland, Harry and David, Natural Value, Sprouts, Sun Harvest, Earth Balance, Cadia, Arrowhead Mills, and several more. So lots of different kinds of peanut butters are affected. We want to find out more about this because we do love the peanut butter. Kyle Barlow is on the line. He is Media Relations Chairman for the American Association of Peanut Butter Manufacturers. That's quite a mouthful. How are you, Kyle?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. I know you're very busy right now managing this recall. Do we think all of the products that might make people sick are off the shelves now?
Absolutely. We're very much on top of the process of trying to get these tainted products off the shelves.
Mm-hmm.
And our primary concern is undue panic. There seems to be a sweeping misconception, I guess you'd say, across the country where people are staying away from peanut butter and peanut butter-related products in droves out of fear that their peanut butter or peanut butter-related product would be tainted with the salmonella, and it's simply not the case.
How do we know which is and which isn't? I mean, I don't want to panic either.
Well, the FDA now just said that it's strictly from the production line of Sunland Incorporated.
Okay.
So they've certainly got a long list of products under recall, and if you go to their website, you can check all that out. But the list is the Sunland peanut butter, peanut butter from the Harry and David online.
Okay.
Gift site, Natural Value, Sun Harvest. I mean, the list has been available for some time on the CDC website as well as the Sunland Incorporated website. But what we're saying is just please do not panic and stay away from peanut butter in general, because peanut butter is, and I was glad to hear you guys say this, one of the greatest foods in the world.
I agree.
It really is.
Agree.
It is versatile. It is nutritional.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, you know, for kids and adults, it's just one of the great foods. And we're sales are already starting to dip because
sure.
of this, because of fear surrounding this outbreak.
Well, nobody wants salmonella. I mean, that is a scary word. Have you done some testing yourselves there?
I eat peanut butter every day.
Every day.
And so does my family. And I just want everyone to know that peanut butter is safe.
Well, that's good news.
This particular company has some problems. But overall, just eat as much peanut butter as you can, because it's just safe, and you won't get salmonella, and
okay.
you won't get sick, and I
okay.
promise you, you'll just...
Oh, my God.
What happened? What?
Kyle? What was that?
Are you okay?
What happened?
Sorry, I'm just not feeling so good. I don't...
No.
Come on. Can we reschedule?
Oh.
No, it's fine.
It's not fine.
Keep everybody safe. And just keep it.
Come on. You should be off the phone.
Yeah. Go lay down, Mr. Barlow.
Yeah. Oh, no. Did you just eat some peanut butter? Oh. Come on now.
You're drowning. That's the...
You need a lifeguard? Oh, come on. Well, this isn't putting my mind at ease.
I now doubt everything you said to us.
Come on.
Kyle, what's going on? Are you all right?
The chunky style was a bad choice.
Oh. Joe Rogan, a man who I think might actually believe the world is going to end. He's joining us in studio in about 20 minutes or so, coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And stick around, we got more tickets for Universal Halloween Horror Nights as well. Very excited. Chuck Lorre is on the phone. He is one of the most successful TV producers and writers of all time. Three shows on the air right now, Mike and Molly, Big Bang Theory, Two and a Half Men. Hi, Chuck. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks.
I can't believe you have time to even poop, much less do radio interviews with as busy as you are with three shows on the air. You must have a pretty crazy schedule.
So we're starting with pooping, right? That's where this is going to start with?
Well,
all right.
Yes.
Terrific.
That's as good as we got, man.
See, this is what morning radio has turned into, man. You don't know.
Wow. Terrestrial radio, right in the toilet.
Tell folks, because they're going to be hearing this term a lot in the next 2 minutes, what a vanity card is, Mr. Lorre.
A vanity card is that thing you see at the end of a television show that's given to the writer, producer of the show by the actual studio that produces the show. I always like to say it's given in lieu of cash.
Oh, good.
and it became called a vanity card decades ago because it has no real significance. It means nothing.
It's just your chance to say, I did this.
It's hey, look at me.
Okay, mom, so right. How long is it?
It's on the air for a second.
One second. All right. Half, okay. Yeah. Now, what gave you the idea to start writing
novels
that people couldn't possibly read unless they paused it?
It was. It began with Dharma and Greg about 15 years ago, and it was just a silly idea to write some jokes down, and if anybody bothered to actually back then videotape the show. And were curious. It looked like boilerplate. It looked like legal boilerplate on the air.
Right.
In case you watch the show and get cancer, you can't sue something like that. A few people actually started pausing with VCRs and posting them on the internet.
How long did it take for the first one? I mean, did you have to do like?
I got in trouble on the very first one.
You got in trouble.
Yeah, I got in trouble with ABC on the very first one because one of the things I wrote on the first one was I believe that beer is a gateway drug that leads inevitably to vodka.
Ah.
And they immediately said, you can't do that. You're upsetting our beer advertisers. So in the second vanity card that I ever wrote, I wrote an apology to the beer manufacturer.
It's a very funny retraction, sort of. I've been told that beer is good and is not a gateway drug to anything.
No. When drunk in a responsible fashion, especially when brewed by major manufacturers.
Right.
Yeah, that was acceptable to ABC. So.
Did you ever use it just to give shout-outs to your friends and to your family and whatnot,
sure.
Just for purely personal reasons?
Oh, absolutely. I've absolutely, over the years, had conversations with family members via the cards. It's sort of a network blog in a way.
One of them that I found fascinating when you talk about talking to your family. One of them is your apology to your dad.
You read that one.
That's pretty complete.
Yeah.
You apologize for a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know how you did as a teenager. I didn't do well.
I was an a-hole.
Yeah, okay, so, yeah, in fact, that is exactly the word, so you have to say that, you have to abbreviate it.
Don't have to.
Okay, yeah, that's exactly, looking back on what I did to him as a teenager, it seemed appropriate to write down that apology.
Apologize on network TV is a nice way to apologize.
Just let it fly by so he can't see it. I like that. Hey, I apologize to you, Dad, for 1 second in last night's episode.
Yeah. No, he had passed away a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
So it was sort of a in memoriam kind of apology.
Got it.
This is the voice of Chuck Lorre here on the Kevin and Bean Show. ChuckLorre.com is his site. You can meet Mr. Lorre in person at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night, October 24th. He is going to be signing a collection of Andy cards that are now available for you in book form. And it's a big book. It's called What Doesn't Kill Us Makes Us Bitter. Tell folks where the money for this is going, Chuck, because I think this is remarkable.
It's going to the Venice Family Clinic some other really good organizations in Los Angeles that help people. So all the profits are going to charity.
Very nice.
Here's a funny one I'd like to just end with, if I could. Actual phone call from Warner Brothers executive.
Oh, God. I love this one. It's a true story. You know, some of these things you just have to write down. Yeah, go ahead.
Executive. Chuck, I just want you to know there are two Kuwaitis in your studio audience tonight. Chuck, what? Executive. Just thought I should alert you. Chuck, Kuwaitis at 2.5 men, are they lost? Exec. No, they just want to see the show, but don't worry. We checked them out, ran them through a metal detector, and they're not on any watch list. Chuck, are you drunk? Executive. Not yet. Maybe later. Chuck, are you purposely fostering a climate of fear so I'll vote for you? Executive. No. Chuck, okay, I appreciate the heads up, but if you're concerned about our security, I suggest keeping an eye on the TV reporter for Entertainment Weekly. They hate our success and believe that if they martyr themselves, they'll wake up in show business with real jobs. That was an actual conversation.
Awesome. That was on TV, too, by the way. If you love show business, this is going to be great for somebody on your shopping list this holiday season. What Doesn't Kill Us Makes Us Bitter. And again, Barnes & Noble at the Grove, 7 o'clock, October the 24th. That's a Wednesday night, and it's ChuckLorre.com for more information. Mr. Lorre, I wish we had more time. I hope you'll come back and do it again sometime. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Note to self, never ask people about their dad.
Your dad like that thing, right?
He's been dead for some time now.
He wrote an apology to him, so I figured maybe he was alive.
But it was his way of expressing his feelings for 1 second on a vanity card. If he was alive, he wouldn't just put a 1 second apology up at the end of some sitcom.
What if his dad watched and knew it was...
And had really quick eyes?
No, he pauses it. Come on. That's ridiculous. But don't ask people about their dad.
We shouldn't be allowed to interview anybody. I think that's what we're learning today here.
You hardly have time to poop, Bean said.
That's worse. Talking to Mr. Lorre, he did not enjoy talking to us. So that's probably
talking to us. Again. No, I
don't blame him. You're awful.
6:56. Ralph is here. Please let's change the subject and move on to an all new Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show.
South Park's being sued again. What a surprise! They get a lot of they inflame a lot of people.
They do
their show.
I think that's what they like about it.
Yeah. This time it's Xavier Wardlaw.
Now, who's this? And what's
you
he
know him? Xavier Wardlaw.
I'm not familiar with him.
He's the creator of the Lollipop Forest. He has slapped Matt Stone and Trey Parker with a lawsuit claiming the show ripped off his Lollipop character and defiled it. There is a South Park character called the Lollipop King. And in a copyright infringement lawsuit against South Park, he claims it is a thinly veiled hack version of his own Lollipop Forest character, Big Bad Lollipop. Wardlaw also claims that his wholesome show has been defiled when his character was exposed to unwholesome language and sexual innuendo. 3 episodes of South Park in 2007, entitled Imagination Land, featured the Lollipop King being choked by a stormtrooper, witnessing a suicide bombing, and watching Kyle and Cartman engage in oral sex.
Those 3 episodes are the most effed up 3 episodes ever.
Yeah. So Wardlaw is suing them. It does not say here how much he is looking for.
Why so soon? 2007?
I know. He's finally getting around to it. He wants...
all.
No, he wants... doesn't say here how much, but I know he does want the character taken out of all the future airings of the episode, blah, 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 blah. So, we'll follow that and see what happens, but... 2007, did someone tap him on the shoulder and say, you know, there's a Lollipop character in South Park. I saw it 5 years ago. Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson are in love again.
I'm sure.
Love is forever, people. They've been spotted 3 times this week out and about in Hollywood, cocktailing with friends and apparently very loving towards each other. So all is well. Remain calm, twitards. True love triumphs, and they are truly back together again. And the wolves will not get the sparkling vampire baby out of her stomach or whatever the hell you people care about. Babies in the news. Jessica Alba is a mom of two. Is that bell all right
there?
What
is happening with your bell? Yeah.
It's right there. There you go.
There's a little goo in there. She has to go back to film Sin City 2, sequel to the popular film based on the Frank Miller comic.
In which she was a stripper.
She was a stripper, and that's exactly what it relates to. She said she doesn't have her old body anymore. So she told producers that she needs a body double for all her nude scenes. So we won't get to see Jessica truly naked. It'll be some other hot chick truly naked. Hmm. I guess we'll muddle through somehow.
We'll live. Yeah. We'll be all right.
And Emma Watson says she likes American dudes.
All right.
English men, she claims, are really well-dressed and have great manners, but they're a little too restrained for Emma. She likes them a little wilder. She says American men are open and straightforward. However, she does have one problem with American men. She can't stand their love of flip-flops. Yeah. You know what? The flip-flop is not acceptable footwear anywhere but the beach and or the pier.
What about the studio here at K-Rock?
No, never the studio. Hey, with your hideous, effing ugly feet, Beer Mug, wearing your flip-flops at all times.
No, they're nice.
He wears them when he wears jeans.
I know, it's disgusting. It really is foul. The flip-flop is not acceptable footwear. It's everywhere except the beach.
Comfortable.
I don't give a F about
you.
Your comfort. You're disgusting. With your hairy, naked feet hanging out all over the place. Grow the F up.
It is not business appropriate. There's no question about that.
It's not street appropriate. I don't want to see it on Melrose either. Guys, what are you, an effing hippies? It's 1967? Put on a pair of shoes like a big boy.
Oh, they're not that bad.
They're horrible. Flip-flops blow.
If you take care of your feet, they're not that bad. You look at him.
The best-looking man's foot is freaking ugly.
Right. We're not talking about women.
Why are you ugly? No, women can wear everything because they're hot and they're nice.
Why are you yelling?
Because they're not acceptable. And I just gave me an opportunity to talk about how disgusting Beer Mug is.
Oh, come on.
It's repugnant sitting around the office with his big hairy feet hanging out of the flip-flops.
Hairy?
I will tell you, though, the arrogance of somebody who's in Beer Mug's position, who's just fighting for his job every day, to then push it by walking around in flip-flops. I don't even understand the mentality.
Oh, you know what?
That.
The sneaker isn't comfortable enough for me. I have to put on a flip-flop where something's just hanging between my toes.
My gross toes.
Like, sneakers are, so painful. How can you walk in those horrible sneakers that you wear? Put on a pair of sneakers like a person. God, I hate him. Celebrity birthdays today, October 17th. Michael McKean from Spinal Tap and Best in Show. Laverne and Shirley, of course, 65 years old today. George Wendt from Cheers turned 64. Richard Roper, movie critic, is 53. Rob Marshall, who gave Chicago and Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. He is 52. Mike Judge, King of the Hill, Beavis and Butthead, Office Space. What a talented guy. 50 years old today. Norm MacDonald is 49. Even Adam Carolla are just like one gene away from being each other. Yeah. Ziggy Marley is 44 years old. Eminem turns 40 years old. And Wyclef Jean is 40 as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 7 o'clock. Joe Rogan will be here in just a minute, but first we need your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. Call now, and we'll tell you why in just a second.
Yes, we need some impartial people who don't know ahead of time why they are calling so that we can do a scientific survey. Because as we've learned, you only need 5 calls to decide any issue. That's the beautiful thing about the Kevin and Bean Show, is that's all the research we need to do. So 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. As soon as we get you on the line, we'll tell you what we need your opinion with. And then Joe Rogan will be in here. Hey, real quick, while we have a minute and Joe Rogan is on his way in here, listen to K-Rock all week long to score Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. We've got them for you again next hour between 8 and 9. We'll give you a chance to win those. And details are at krock.com. They got so much great stuff going on down there at Universal Studios, by the way. They got that Walking Dead and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the Alice Cooper 3D, Silent Hill. So much good stuff. All right. Do we have our people on the line?
We do.
Okay.
Okay. Ralph, you really tapped into something when you went off on Beer Mug about the flip-flops.
Yeah. I tapped into what was right and what was wrong.
We are hearing from people. Apparently, this is a thing that is an issue that is on people's minds that they are very upset about.
Yeah. Because it's unacceptable.
Kevin,
it doesn't bother me.
Well, nothing. Yeah, well, that's true. You nothing either hate something you. Or nothing bothers
it
you.
It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, but you're just stumbling through life.
How dare you, sir?
It is funny that Kevin either has deep cartoon hate or doesn't care at all. There's nothing in between. Look, I'm not even there. I don't even see Beer Mug, thank God.
He has ugly feet.
But I just think that it's one thing to be walking down the street. It's another thing to be in a small room with five other people for 5 hours a day and expect them to enjoy being around your bare feet. That,
even,
to me,
even walking down the street being, it's not acceptable. It's not just Beer Mug. It's anybody. Flip-flops are just not acceptable footwear. If you are more than a mile away from water, it is not acceptable. Joe, you're in the valley walking down the street in jeans and flip-flops, you should be kicked in the throat.
Again, we're talking about men.
Yes. Okay. Right. Women, of course.
Joe Rogan is now in the studio with us. Hi, Joe.
What's up?
Talking about flip-flops at work. We were stalling while we were waiting for you in traffic.
I was listening. Okay. I was listening while I was in traffic.
Your thoughts on flip-flops before we go
to the
phones?
Necessary.
Not necessary.
Not necessary. I'm a great cop. You know, if less dudes are barefoot, like there was just like a horrible accident, you were naked in the car and you're running for your life from a bear. Right. Unless it's one of those types of situations.
If you're John McClane and you're fighting terrorists and you have no shoes because you had to, you know.
Yeah. If you're in Alaska and your boat gets overturned and your clothes are all wet and you have to walk naked.
Then you can understand.
And it makes sense to me. But you're walking around in flip-flops, you're a slob. What's wrong with you, dude?
How dare you? How dare you?
There's different rules for men than there is for women. That's why men can be topless. Men can walk on the beach topless, women can't. Men can't show their feet. They're disgusting.
Right. The best-looking male foot is disgusting.
It's not necessary.
Hard to argue that.
And let's face it, Beer Mug is a guy who has a pair of shoes. It's not like flip-flops are the only thing that he salvaged out of a dumpster and that's all he can put on his feet to protect him from the asphalt.
He has shoes. I'm not
he
positive about
shoes.
That.
Lisa, read your email, then we'll go to the calls and get the definitive word on this.
All right, so Christian fired this off immediately after the discussion. Here, Ralph. People who wear flip-flops everywhere are D-bags who think they're too cool Jack Johnson wannabes. This isn't effing Hawaii, you wannabe surf douches.
That's what I'm talking about. I like the way that guy thinks.
If you're coming off the beach with a surfboard under your arm on your way to your Woody, then it's fine. You can wear flip-flops. But when you get to the city, put some goddamn shoes on.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's take some calls, shall we?
It's time for Kevin and Bean's Scientific Survey.
Take five calls. Omar's first. Good morning, Omar.
That was Kevin and Bean's Scientific Survey.
It's already over?
Well, that was quick.
We have decided.
Short.
I was expecting more time for calls.
It's unanimous.
Now, Beer Mug, you have to understand that this is the ruling, okay? If they say unacceptable, you can no longer wear flip-flops to work. You get that, right?
Yeah.
Omar, yes.
Yes, hello.
Yes or no on the flip-flops at work?
No. Nope. Beer Mug should be fired.
Thank you.
Okay. Wow. By the way, that goes without saying for all the callers. We know that Beer Mug should be fired. Ignacio is next. He's on line 2. Yes or no for flip-flops at work?
I say no.
No. Also. All right. So that's 2. You're not looking good for the mugs.
Right-thinking American, sir.
Mary?
Yes.
Yes on flip-flops or just yes, you're Mary?
Yes to both. No, I'm going to say no because I'm a nurse and I'd get poop on my shoes and my feet.
A nurse? What kind of a nurse are you?
A bad one if you can't keep the poop off the floor.
People just throwing poop around at work? What's going on there?
She works with monkeys? All right, Mary, thank you. That's 3 out of 5 already. We don't even need to take any more calls.
I think you guys are really being unfair to Beer Mug. I don't think he really understood how offensive it was. And I think that what's going on right now is he really feels picked on.
Well,
and I'm
does.
Looking at his
well,
sad puppy dog
have
eyes.
Have you seen his feet?
I don't need to see his feet. Right. Every dude's feet are the same to me.
All right.
This is a very casual
They're all disgusting.
Workplace.
Joe, I understand you're being very kind, but we've mentioned this to Mugs before.
He's a guy. Guys don't care what their feet look like. That's the problem. That's why they shouldn't be showing them.
Correct. Yes.
Women are always getting pedicures and cleaning everything up nice and making them pretty colors so they're better to look at. Dudes don't care, you know.
All right.
Feet are covered in scars and dog bites and, you know, brush.
Really?
Nicks from going through brush and stepping and things.
Acid
and
burns.
The bottoms are always calloused. Like, who bothers smoothing out the bottoms of your feet? Why would I do that?
I need a little something on the bottom. What if I have to walk across coals or something?
Exactly. If you ever do some Tony Robbins type thing.
That's right.
Women the toe is presentable. You know, feet are their feet, they work on them.
They spend some time making sure they're pretty.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Well, we've all learned a valuable lesson here today. Thank you, Mr. Rogan, for bringing it into sharp focus.
Beer
Joe Rogan
right,
is here, by the way. Joe Rogan and friends.
You don't know.
We want to let him go.
We want to let him go.
Oh, so mean.
Joe Rogan, you got a job for him? You want to take him?
I might.
He could be yours.
Look,
he could be yours.
Scoop him up.
Let him come work on your podcast instead. We'd all be better for
it. Oh, you guys are mean.
All right, you do it for a week.
So mean.
You do it for a week.
Yeah.
And well, then so when you send him back in a box.
I need to sit down and talk to the dude. Maybe you guys know something I don't know.
We do.
You seem like
we know a lot you don't know.
Ready to ship him off like right away. That's so rude. If I worked here, I'd be hurt.
Is here. Joe
sorry,
Rogan,
dude. Friends, I'm sorry about this.
Celebrate the end of the world Friday night, December 21st at the World Tour. We're going to find out all about that. We're going to find out how Brazil was. We're going to find out what's going to kill us and how the world is going to end and all that good stuff with our guests. Joe Rogan, right after this on the world famous. The great and powerful Joe Rogan in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday night. That means he'll be at the Ice House in Pasadena tonight, along with your good friends Greg Fitzsimmons and Ryan Redband and a couple of others. Tickets are on sale through IceHouseComedy.com. And then you got a big show, probably the last show you'll ever do, Joe, on December 21st at the Wiltern.
I should first of all say that Greg Fitzsimmons had to cancel tonight, but we have Duncan Trussell and Ian Edwards as well.
That's tonight at the Ice House, of course, in Pasadena. And then the 21st is you and your friends are going to be celebrating the end of the world. So we're hoping that the meteor hits after your set, right?
No, it's okay. It doesn't really matter. It can go on before I go on. I mean, if it's going to be like a world, but I don't really believe that, by the way. I just want to let everybody know. Because there's a big chunk of people that actually are buckling up for December 21st, 2012. I mean, even some really interesting people, some smart people that really believe.
Because we always think like there might be some wackos out there that believe anything.
Well, part of it is based on this widely criticized time wave zero novelty theory by a guy named Terrence McKenna.
You don't have to tell me.
And what? Time wave zero is something. It's just as trippy as it ever gets, okay? Because it's based on a mushroom trip that a guy had where the I Ching, which is a Chinese method of divination, this ancient Chinese method of like rolling these particular hexagons, like in creating these patterns. I don't understand it.
Okay.
It's a method of divination. Well, this guy realized that was a map of time, and he converted it into this thing called time wave zero novelty. And what it means is that innovation and human novelty, you literally can track like a mathematical equation.
Right.
And that it comes to a point of ultimate novelty on December 21st, 2012. Happened to be the same day. Supposedly discovered independently. But the thing is, the Mayan calendars never says that it's the end of the world. People have just added all that stuff to it. All it says is the end of the long count. They have counts. They have counts for different – it was all based on astronomical position. But it didn't mean anything.
Right.
I mean, it didn't necessarily mean that it was going to be the end of life. And I mean, anytime it's a full moon to ancient cultures, it signified new eras. I mean, when the sun actually came up in the morning, people were excited, and it symbolized a new era. I mean, when you look at this and say, well, the Mayans, December 21st, 2012, the end of the long count, what does that mean? Do you ever talk to a Mayan? Do you know the guy who wrote that? This is crazy.
I've never talked to a Mayan, no.
So I don't think it's the end of the world.
But if it happens, it'll be great that you'll be on stage.
If it happens, that's a good way to go.
How do most of the people that you encounter, and you probably encounter more of them in your podcast than we do, how do most of them believe the world will end, Joe?
Well, the silliest, you know, they have like alien theories. The silly people, the most silly have the alien thought. That the alien's going to come then and they're going to, you know, wipe us out.
Right. Or that there's a planet. They told the Mayans, so that's why they stopped.
Yeah.
There's a planet
that might hit us.
Wouldn't they have seen that coming for
I don't know. Maybe
years?
It's a sneaky, really sneaky planet. it only comes through where Antarctica is. I mean, are we looking at the North Pole? Do we pay attention
Sarah
to what's coming
Palin
towards
is,
the North Pole?
But other
yeah,
than that, no.
She's aware. Yeah. She's really close. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know what they think. It's just you give people a date and they focus on it and everybody goes crazy. The reality is that today, if you lived in 1970 and you beamed someone to today, they would think it's the end of the world. They would think that, oh my God, I showed up at the end of history. Like, look, they're about to go to war with Iran and look what's going on in Somalia and look at this crazy Detroit and it's all around us. Look at Mexico.
And Honey Boo Boo.
Honey Boo Boo. At all, you know, everything. They would, Kim Kardashian, they would look at it all and go, what is going on? They've lost their minds.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they all have bombs too. Whoa, it's going to get crazy. Like, I came back to the point in time where it all falls apart. Or not, you know?
Yeah.
It's possible that it's all going to fall apart or that we're just so awesome we're going to pull through.
Or that 30 years from now or 40 years from now, it's going to look pretty much about the same as it does now with just some new things.
I don't think so. I think
you think we're going to see a lot of changes in the next couple of decades?
Yes. I think there's going to be no privacy. I think privacy is going to be completely out the window. If it's not out the window already,
because of all the camera coverage and everything?
Yeah, it's not just that. It's all technology seems to be interconnected.
And tracking.
Yeah, and it seems to be pulling everybody together. Like technology, if you had a look at it, like what's it doing? Well, it's giving you information, instant information, everybody all the time. And now information about where you are. Hey, tag this. Where are you at? And it shows your location. You'll be able to FaceTime and photos and Instagram. You're getting closer and closer and closer to no privacy.
Right.
Eventually, there's going to be something that allows you to see what people are doing. You're going to have it. I'm going to have it. And I can tune into your world.
Ooh, I don't want that.
You made a reference on Twitter last night while watching the presidential debate about mind reading, too, that you believe may happen.
Well, I just think that if you look at the evolution of the human animal from what we were when we were a single-celled organism to a monkey to us, supposedly, if that's really how it all went down, it's not going to stay here. It's going to keep going. It's going right now. We're evolving. We're getting better right now. It must be. I mean, people say, well, you don't understand natural selection. I mean, that's the reason why some animals are wrong. Yeah, I have a feeling if anything's going to evolve, it's going to be people.
Right.
I mean, you think about something that's changing and manipulated its environment and doing all sorts of different things to change the entire environment that it lives in. Everything from the air it breathes to the way it interacts with video and information.
Well, yeah, technology, they say, is changing our brains.
It's probably a life form. That's what I think.
Technology.
I think technology is probably a life form that we don't recognize because we think of a life form as like heartbeats and blood. Technology, if you looked at it though, if you were completely objective and you had no idea what life was, and you looked at people and you looked at technology, you'd go, oh, well, there's a symbiotic relationship between these two beings, and one of them is going to go live one day. And it's not live yet.
It's not
right
us.
Now, it's just us pressing its buttons and manipulating it and moving it into position. But we're eventually going to give it the ability to do that for itself.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do that, things are going to get really weird.
We're starting to see computers that are making their own decisions. We're already starting to see thought process in computers. It's real and that is happening.
Not good for us.
It's definitely not good.
So not good for us.
And
we're way too crazy.
Yeah.
We are way crazy, and we like to pretend we're not. You know, we'll like watch the presidential debates. Like grown adults, like you and I, will watch it. We'll say, "Well, I thought Romney did a better job." Well, I thought Obama did a better job. The last time I saw drama that good in a puppet show was when Elmo lost his blanket. That's what I thought of the presidential debates.
I thought they were gonna hit each other at one point. I really did. It looked like they were moving in to actually strike.
I would have watched
Mitt
if they were gonna hit each other.
Quite rude, I have to say. I think he's better at that debating stuff because he has less of a dramatic pause.
Right.
And I don't think the dramatic pause. I don't think I'd be comfortable if you're sitting right in front of me and it was just you and I, mm-hmm. and you were using fake talk. And I think Mitt Romney used less fake talk, which I appreciated. He talked more in complete sentences. It didn't seem as theatrical.
Right. Yeah.
But still, like, Jesus. How come there's only two guys? What's going on?
That's a good question.
Where's that Gary Johnson guy? Where's that guy, the libertarian guy that says all the smart stuff?
There were some of those people outside the debate trying to get in. They got arrested.
Yeah, of course. Of course. It's a game. When Ross Perot came along, he rigged the whole thing. Remember that?
The
billionaire dude. He ruined everything. Came in here with all sorts of knowledge. and when Ross Perot ran for president, he screwed up everything. They wanted Bush in there for two terms. And all of a sudden, this crazy guy comes along and scoops up a giant chunk of the vote. So they actually changed the rules for the presidential debate rules. You have to get much more of the popular vote before you're allowed to debate now.
That's funny.
I think you need to write another book, and it needs to be called Joe Rogan Thinks About Things.
Please.
Because it sounds like you got a lot on your mind, my friend.
I think we all should have a lot on our mind right now, shouldn't we?
Tonight at
yes,
the Ice
we
House
should.
In Pasadena, icehousecomedy.com, if you want to see Joe and friends on stage. And then the End of the World show is December 21st. Why wouldn't it be at the Wiltern? And tickets are on sale through livenation.com. We want to talk about Brazil, Joe, when we come back right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
You got here just in time. It's Halloween.
106.7. KRQ.
And we have Joe Rogan in studio who's going to be at the Ice House in Pasadena tonight.
Also, tickets are on sale through LiveNation.com to see Joe Rogan and friends celebrate the end of the world on December 21st at the Wiltern. We have some tickets for you for free just for listening to our show right now. If you want to call us at 1-800-520-1067. Your friend Joey Diaz is on the bill. Doug Stanhope is going to be there. The Honey Honey Band are going to be playing. That's a good night, Joe Rogan.
Yeah, it should be awesome. We've never done a show like that before. We've never done a show like with music.
Yeah.
But
I
this
love it.
Honey Honey Band's done our podcast a couple of times, and they're so cool. They're just
I've
such
heard
nice people.
Good.
And they're so talented. I love their music. And it's a lot of people, you know, like, I listen to a lot of weird stuff. Like, I listen to a lot of country, and they have, like, this sort of country twang to them, but this, right. like, real genuine, authentic sound. It's, it's great. It's fantastic.
A couple of days ago, you were in Brazil. You were tweeting about a crazy TV show where a guy is putting women in bubbles.
Yeah, I was at the airport. It was the weirdest thing ever. I don't speak Portuguese, so I don't know what was going on. But when I was at the airport, in the lounge, they had this video going on where there was a dude who had – he was like this fat guy, had a belt pulled up way high, and he was the host. And he had all these hot Brazilian, thick Brazilian women, like just womenly women, man,
right.
that you never see on TV in America. Girls on America, they would be like, you got to lose some weight, honey.
Right.
You know, they would come up to her. But these women were just curving, right? And they're all in like their underwear with like high heels on. And this dude was making bubbles. Like,
out of
the
what?
Show was a guy making bubbles. I mean, yeah, they're kind of cool. Like, some of them had, like, smoke in them and stuff. But they were just bubbles. But it was the whole show. I mean,
soap
it
bubbles?
Went on for, like, half an hour. This guy making bubbles. And then he would get a girl to stand there and he'd make a bubble around her. Yeah, soap bubble.
Really?
It was so dumb. It was the whole show. It was like, wow, these people are like from 1970 with their TV shows or something. Like, I don't know what this is, but it was just... It was like one of those, you know, that certain look to those Mexican soap operas that you're flipping through the channel and you mm-hmm. go, boom, I know what that is.
Yep.
Like, you don't look at it for 1 second. You're like, I know what that is. And it was like there.
All right,
let's
talk about Brazil. You were down there for the fight, for the UFC
awesome.
Fight on Saturday.
How many times is it now? 3 times you've been down there for UFC?
Three times for the UFC. It's Rio's incredible. It's what a beautiful, beautiful place. It's unbelievably
Tell us about
beautiful.
The crowd and the people there. You said they
They're
being
nicer. Yeah. The crowd, they were first really hostile to Americans. Like they have this chant. I don't know what they're saying. I don't mm-hmm. know the exact words, but it roughly translates to "you're gonna die." So these guys,
that is friendly.
The non-Brazilians, they did it at the weigh-in. They did it at first at the weigh-in, and then I had to ask. Like, and then they said that when they were explained to me
you're
what they're
gonna
saying,
die.
And they all know the song. And there's another one. There's another one when they're singing. Put it up your ass. So there's like 18,000 people, and they're singing the Portuguese version of Put It Up Your Ass. You know, I mean, I don't know if it means the same thing to them as it does to us, because they have a lot of weird words. Like, they have this word, well, I could say it, because we're on, it's not even, they say it, so it's poha.
Okay.
And poha is that the actual translation, literal translation, is male semen. That's the actual literal chant, but
okay.
they use it for everything.
Okay,
it's like our version of the F word. They throw it around all mm-hmm. the time.
All right.
It's really weird. It's a cool language.
Now they're nicer now than they were.
They're
they
nicer now. They were applauding. They were applauding non-Brazilians. And even when they won, even, you know, there was a fight, a John Fitch, Eric Silva fight, which is a great fight, a crazy great fight. And they even applauded John Fitch at the end, much more so than they did in the earlier UFCs.
Which is good because he deserved it.
Yeah, I think what it's going on is just they're relaxing because the fact that UFC is here all the time now. And it's not as much of a nationalistic thing as it was
us
before.
Against them,
yeah,
right.
Because it was like they're invading Brazil and Brazilians are very proud. They're a really extremely proud and extremely patriotic group of people.
While we have time, I'm sorry, Bean, go ahead.
Just one more question on that. When Anderson Silva retires from the octagon, will he run and win and become the next president of Brazil? Is
he
that popular?
Easily could. Yeah. He's a fantastic human being, that guy. He really is. I am really fascinated by extreme excellence. And I think he's one of those rare Michael Jordan type talents.
You think he's the best MMA fighter of all time?
A fighter, period, in anything, any sport.
No
one dominates like him in anything. There's never been a kickboxer that's had as much of a dominant run as him. There's never been a wrestler that's had as much of a dominant run. He's a phenomenon.
Will John Jones ever get to that point?
I think he's there.
He's there now.
Will
they ever fight?
I would think that they could fight. I don't know, though. You know, I mean, it's like they've both said they don't want to, which, you know, if they're killers and they're just smashing everybody and they know that they're going to run into this other killer and someone's going to get smashed.
Why would you, right?
But they look at it and go, listen, man, we can both make money. I'm a light heavyweight. I'll stay here. You're a middleweight. You stay there. Like, hey, I agree, man. There's no need to do this.
Yeah.
What, are they 20 pounds apart?
They are 20 pounds apart in their weight classes.
Right.
As a human being, John Jones is most certainly the bigger guy. He probably walks around about 225, 230.
So they may not want to fight each other, and that may never happen for that reason.
It may never happen, you know. Or the UFC gives them some crazy offer, and they decide as a business, you know, listen, let's just do this, and then we can be friends afterwards. Because I don't know how close they are. Look, I don't know. Fighting is a very emotional thing for a lot of these guys. There's a lot going on, you know, and some of them really respect each other, and they really like each other. It's very difficult for them to fight. Like, it's very difficult for guys who train together and become like brothers, and they help each other out, and then they have to fight. And it happens all the time, and it's a very weird situation.
This is the voice of Joe Rogan here on the Kevin Bean Show, talking briefly about UFC 153, which just happened down in Rio. What was the fight on the bill that was? It looked like somebody was really going to end up in the hospital, like big time.
That was Glover Teixeira versus Fabio Maldonado. It was a crazy fight.
Maldonado was literally about to die.
He's the toughest human being I've ever seen inside the
octagon. What's it take to call a fight?
It was rough to watch.
I think they should have called it when he was staggering on his feet, but then right after I thought that, he clipped Glover with a left hook and hurt him. It was craziness. Like, you couldn't have scripted it because nobody would have believed it. He clipped Glover with his left hook and his legs went wobbly, and you went, oh my God, what if this guy wins here? Like, what if he hits him again and knocks him out? Like, that's entirely possible.
This is 2-3 minute rounds, and at the end of that, before the third round, they said the doctor called it. He was arguing. He's like, no, I want to fight. I can't even see your face anymore, dude.
And wasn't the doctor, that was the Undertaker who came in to call that, by the way.
And apparently even Glover said recently that he thought that the fight was stopped prematurely. It's
really?
Yeah, it's crazy. They're crazy. What? They're a different breed of human being, man. I'm telling
they
you.
Are.
You guys, you know, sometimes you have to protect them from themselves. But that fight was incredible, though. Oh my God,
Joe. This was UFC 153. What number were they on when you got in?
37.5.
How That's about what
I, that? Well, actually, 12. I came in at UFC 12. I was the post-fight interviewer. That was the debut of Vitor Belfort. That was 1997.
And then you started calling him at 37?
I started calling him as a commentator. But back when I did it in UFC 12, it was a completely different experience. It was just like, it was like I was going on the road to go do animal porn. I would tell people I was going to go work a cage fighting event, and they're like, you got problems, dude. Like, everybody wanted to be an actor, and they wanted to eat bagels and read the trades together.
And that's
like,
when it was looked down on a great amount, that's fair.
Absolutely,
I've always been honest with what I like and what I don't like. As long as it's legal and I can go somewhere and watch, is it happening? It's going to happen whether I exist or not, right?
Right.
Okay, I'm going to go check that out.
How everyone thought in that day, at least, in 97.
Well, people had a distorted perception of what that kind of extreme competition is like. And I grew up doing martial arts competitions. So to me, it's like testing yourself in a really extreme way, whether it's mountain skiing, you know, or surfing on a giant wave or any of that stuff. There's an inherent danger with riding motorcycles and driving fast cars. There's just danger. There's danger to life. And this is a different kind of danger. We look at it differently because other people are inflicting it on you. And to me, that just means it's a greater challenge. It means you should be happy that there's people that are out there that can do that to you if you want to get good at it. Because the only way to get good at it is to have someone try to do it to you that's a killer, and you defend yourself, and then you figure, that's the only way to really learn how good you've truly become. And that's when a guy like Anderson Silva gets so crazy, because he's in this insane confidence point, as well as being physically incredibly capable.
Right.
He's in this insane confidence point because he's just been doing it exactly the way he wants it to come out for years now. He's just in this crazy zone. So his efficiency inside the cage, his movement inside the cage, it's going to be very hard to beat that guy right now.
I feel like we have just dipped our toe into the waters that are Joe Rogan, but we're out of time.
What? That's nonsense.
I know.
Tonight, these time limitations and commercials.
I know.
We got to sit down with all these monkeys that make commercials. You guys need to settle down.
Tonight,
one song every hour. How about no songs, bitch?
Ice House in Pasadena.
Take a break.
Get your tickets at IceHouseComedy.com. December 21st at the Wiltern. You can buy those tickets at Live Nation. That's with Doug Stanhope, Joey Diaz, and Honey Honey. That's going to be a great, great show on the 21st. And, of course, the podcast is the Joe Rogan Experience, which you can get through JoeRogan.net or, of course, on iTunes. Joe,
thank you, guys. I love you guys.
Best, man.
You guys are awesome. Thank you.
If you are still undecided as to who to vote for in the presidential election, we have you covered. We have a complete list of who the celebrities have endorsed coming up right after the top of the hour. Finally, now that we know what the Action Mom's doing, we know how we can vote.
The other way?
Ralph is here now at 7:55 with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Nothing else matters. Quit your jobs.
What?
Pull out of school.
Is the world ending?
Divorce your spouses.
Uh-oh.
Nothing else matters because the world's greatest news was released today.
Wow.
Nothing else matters. Not the election, not who's going to be president, not leaving your garage door up and panicking about that. Nothing matters. All is well, people. It's a new world.
Should we warn the affiliates out front here that we're going long today?
It's a new day in America.
Okay. Because
R. Kelly today announced the next chapter in Trapped in the Closet will be released the day after Thanksgiving. November the 23rd, the day after Thanksgiving, often referred to as Black Friday, and it's never been more appropriate than it is this year. R. Kelly.
If you don't know what we're talking about, it's out on DVD now. Go buy several copies of Trapped in the Closet.
And watch them all simultaneously. Buy more televisions and more DVD players.
It's the worst, best.
It's the best.
It's the best, worst thing you've ever seen.
20 new chapters will be released starting the day after Thanksgiving, R. Kelly says. We just shot 20 chapters. They'll be coming out the day after Thanksgiving. Trapped in the Closet is forever. I've got like 100 chapters to come. He reiterated, it's forever. Trapped in the Closet is forever!
I don't agree with him.
Forever! Trapped in the Closet! And as if this news wasn't good enough, R. Kelly was kind enough to give us a little teaser, teaser episode.
Oh, yes, please. Yes,
please. You can find at the IFC.com website.
Do you want to catch people up quickly on what the story is? In general? In general.
It is a blacktacular soap opera about various characters. There's a Chuck. There's Rosie the Nosy Neighbor. There's Rufus. There's Big Man the Midget. There's Bridget, who loves the midget. It's just a story about intrigue and shootings and infidelity and midgets and AIDS and people struggling with their sexuality and love triangles.
Oh, that's
and
great.
It is all done in something that is supposed to be poetry, sort of iambic blacktameter, I guess you would call it. And R. Kelly makes forced rhymes like dresser and Beretta. And it's just madness on a scale unlike which we've ever seen before. And R. Kelly did release a teaser episode giving us an idea of what's going to happen with our favorite characters as we move into the next 20 chapters of Trapped in a Closet. Here's a little taste.
Then Rosie and Randolph gets a call. Hello. Then Tina and Roxanne gets a call. Hello. Then Joey.
Yeah, hello.
Reverend Mosley.
Hello.
Big Man.
Dixie's.
James.
Yeah.
Pimp Lucius. Now they tried and tried and tried and tried, but there was no luck when it came to getting in touch with Chuck. Where are you, Chuck?
Where are you, Chuck? That's what we're going to be asking ourselves as we go to the next 20 chapters. What happened to Chuck?
Can I change my name?
Why is everyone calling each other?
Everyone's on the phone,
Rosie
first of all.
Rosie gets a call, and Rufus gets a call, and Reverend gets a call.
That's a good example.
Rosie gets a call, Big Man gets a call.
Don't forget Pimp Lucius.
Gets a call.
I want to change my name to Pimp Lucius.
Ralph, how many chapters have we already been through?
22,
and now he's got 20 more at least for now?
Yes.
Wow.
But there's hundreds to come because, and I reiterate, Trapped in the Closet is forever!
I thought there'd be a sting of some kind there. Imagine my disappointment.
It's kind of a scary. I don't think that's
what we're looking for.
All right, I got another one. Give it to me again, Ralph.
Trapped in the Closet is forever!
No.
What's wrong with that?
No, maybe. That's pretty good.
Oh.
Never That's the best news ever.
Never that is happier. The best news ever.
Never been happier than I am right now. Today's celebrity birthdays. Wyclef Jean is 40 years old today, as is Eminem.
Eminem?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where's he been? What's he up to these days? Where is he?
Being agoraphobic.
I have no idea. I have nothing to base this on, but I just imagine Eminem bloated like an old Elvis. just shooting out his television sets and straining on the throne and just...
He performs from time to time. He looks good.
I don't know, man. I haven't seen him.
All right.
I think it's just peanut butter and banana sandwiches and him just in a boarded up building somewhere.
I think that happens a lot.
Ziggy Marley's 44, Norm Macdonald's 49, Mike Judge, the genius behind King of the Hill and Beavis and Butthead and Office Space, 50 years old. Rob Marshall's 52, very talented director of Chicago and other films. Richard Roper, while we're talking about movies, he's a film critic at the movies. It's the TV show he's on, but he's also a very successful published movie critic. 53, George Wendt of Cheers is 64, and Michael McKean, one of my favorite performers on the planet. He is, of course, from This Is Spinal Tap. He's one of the... What was that folk group that he did with Chris Guest and Harry Shearer?
The
Journeyman?
Midnight Wind or whatever that was called? The Something Wind?
The Mighty Wind.
The movie was called A Mighty Wind, but the band he was in, they perform sometimes out there.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
But just a super talented guy, and recently he got hit by that car in New York, remember?
That's right.
Very scary.
He's great in everything.
Life. But he is on the mend, and we wish him a happy birthday, 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Our friend Adam Carolla joins us in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we got more chances for you to enjoy the holiday season at Universal. We got tickets for the Universal Studios Hollywood Horror Nights this hour, in fact. Kevin, you probably didn't watch the debate last night.
I did not.
And I think I figured it out. Now you've talked about how you hate the politics, you hate the fighting, you hate the debating, you hate it all.
I think the left is too far left and the right is too far right, and they're both cartoonish and it's ridiculous.
Because you're the only one who makes any sense in this crazy world, right?
No, I'm just saying they are both too extreme.
But they fact check them afterward, and definitely both sides say some things that aren't true.
Exaggerate. Yeah.
I think Kevin is just being efficient. He's just saving time, as we all should take an example from him.
Thank you.
And why bother spending all that time putting the research in, investigating the topics on the table, when you can just vote however your favorite celebrity votes? You just go to celebrity endorsements and see who you like that's already voting for somebody, and you just vote the way they vote.
Now, I can't possibly imagine, and we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067, if you are swayed by a celebrity. If a celebrity comes out and says, I want Barack Obama to win, or I want Mitt Romney to win, that changes your mind or affects you in some way. But that's how I vote entirely. So I started with Donald Trump, so I knew I was going to vote for Mitt Romney. And then Bill Maher came out for Obama, so then I have to vote for Obama.
Okay.
But then Ted Nugent came out for Romney, so now I'm back on Romney. And then Cher countered, and she's an Obama supporter.
Mm-hmm. Now you're back. You got to vote for president, right? Yeah.
And then Chuck Norris for Romney. Now I'm back on Romney. And then Ricky Martin comes out for Obama, so now I'm back there. And then Cindy Crawford, who's hot, is voting for Mitt Romney.
Let me stop you right there.
So then Earth, Wind, and Fire comes out for Obama. What do? I'm back on Obama.
Well, you got to go with whatever Earth, Wind, and Fire does.
That's how I judge my life.
But how does it work then with all these celebrities, with all the conflicting opinions? Do you just vote for whatever celebrity you hear last before you go into the ballot box?
Whoever's last, I think.
So if you turn on the radio and you're driving to vote on November 6th and Will I Am is on and he says, well, I'm going for pick your candidate, whichever one it is, that's the one you vote for because he's the last celebrity you hear.
Well, I'm not sure. This debate may have ended last night or the night before. I can't remember. It may have ended, and I'll tell you about it in a second. Gene Simmons, Clint Eastwood, Kid Rock, Snooki, Jenna Jameson, Lindsay Lohan, Scott Baio, Britney Spears, Hulk Hogan, all going for Romney.
Okay. Wow. That's a lot. All right.
And now for Obama, you know, you got your Snoop Dogg.
Okay.
Star Jones, Jerry Springer, Wendy Williams, Magic Johnson, Tyler Perry, Jonas Brothers, Jay-Z. And then on Jimmy Kimmel's show, I think this is going to be a tough one to overturn in my mind. Because Jimmy had the Honey Boo Boo people on. Had Mom, 500-pound June. Mm-hmm. And 400-pound Honey Boo Boo.
And they talked about the presidential election.
And they talked about the presidential election, and this is how it went.
Oh, I have a question for you.
So what?
Did you see, do you know who Mitt Romney is?
No.
Do you know who Barack Obama is?
The president?
He's the president, yeah. They asked on the Kelly and Michael show, they asked Mitt Romney if he preferred Snooki or Honey Boo Boo. And do you know what he said? He said he preferred Snooki. So now I have to ask you, who are you going to support for president, Mitt Romney or Barack Obama?
Wow, really putting her on the spot there, the six-year-old honey boo-boo. Yeah.
No kidding.
Because a lot's riding on this answer, for me especially.
Who said that?
Mitt Romney said that.
Barack Obama?
So you're supporting Barack Obama?
Nope, now, technically, she's supporting Barack Obama. And I'm not sure that's the same guy.
Is he a write-in candidate? How do I vote for him?
So what do I do with that? Because if Honey Boo Boo is down with Obama...
Right, right.
I mean, she is six.
She is. Actually, she's seven now,
seven.
Kevin. So she'll be able to vote in almost 11 years. She'll be able to cast a vote. So
and
good luck with that.
A huge showbiz success.
That's true.
Right?
Hey, she knows what she's talking about. Man, she's got a show. Do you have a show?
I'm pretty sure she outweighs every other name that I mentioned.
Let's take a couple of calls here because we're very curious. Every celebrity seems to, and maybe some of them aren't going out there and making commercials like Jay-Z did this week for the president. Maybe some of them are just being asked in interviews. Maybe it's not their intention to try to influence people's votes, but maybe they're on the red carpet and somebody says, hey, who are you voting for? And they answer.
Yeah.
I don't know. But what kind of an influence does it have on you, if any? Let's go to Cindy. She's on line four to get us going here at 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Cindy.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
You heard what we're talking about. Do celebrities have any kind of influence whatsoever when they talk about who they're going to vote for?
Well, they do, because I really don't like either candidate, but I love Dave Grohl. Like, we all love Dave Grohl.
Yes. Dave Grohl's the best. Can we write? Is he running? Can we vote for him?
I would vote for him, but since supports Barack, I'm leaning towards Barack, even though I don't like either one of them.
All right, so you don't like
but
either
I
of
love
them,
Dave.
But you love Dave Grohl.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And are you comfortable with that being how you made up your mind this time?
I'm really comfortable with that.
Well, I think she is, Bean, because she doesn't like either man.
Yeah, I mean, I could see if when you really are torn and there's some celebrity that you really respect and think is smart, you might go that
way. I guess
way.
If you're on the fence and you just can't figure out either one.
Yeah,
because I'm thinking about leaving both spots blank. Therefore, in support of Dave Grohl, I'm going to check Obama.
So you write in what would Dave Grohl do?
Yeah.
All right. That makes sense. Thank you, Cindy. Appreciate that. Let's go to Imani. Imani is on line two, and she has an interesting way of approaching the ballot box this year. Hi, Imani.
Hey. Well, my opinion is usually I don't care at all, but I like Oprah, so I'm like, yay, Oprah likes Obama. But if anyone like crazy Donald Trump is like, yeah, Obama needs to show his birth certificate, I'm going to be like, that's crazy. I'm not going to vote for Mitt Romney.
So it depends on the celebrity. You respect Oprah.
Yeah.
So you figure she's done her research.
Yep.
Let me tell you something about Oprah,
but if it's Lindsay Lohan, you don't care because you know she really hasn't done the research.
And because she's crazy.
Yeah.
Right. Let me tell you something about Oprah. Thank you very much for the call, Imani. Oprah is the one that I think really did make an impact for President Obama because she came out really early for him. Back when he was, you know, he was a senator and he was a no name pretty much, and Hillary Clinton had the big money and the, you know, the big exposure and everybody knew her and everything. And she came out even before the first primary. Hillary Clinton came out for Barack Obama.
Did she say, I'm voting for Barack Obama?
There was one professor that I saw interviewed, a Professor Jacobs in Minnesota, who said that there is some evidence that Oprah came out and supported Barack Obama in Iowa and had a big impact. Estimates are perhaps as many as 100,000 people or more who were not going to ordinarily vote for Obama turned out for him. And that endorsement not only credited with helping Obama win the Iowa caucus, but creating the momentum to beat Hillary Clinton in the nomination. So in Oprah's case, because she has so many devoted fans who will buy whatever she says to buy and vacation wherever she says to vacation. Maybe someone like Oprah really does make a difference. Let's take one more, though. I think Joey maybe even has another celebrity that we should be looking at way more than Oprah. Hi, Joey.
Hey, good morning, party people.
Hello.
How are you going to vote?
Whoever Kate Upton votes for, that's who I'm voting for.
Oh, there it is. Wow, you nailed it. You nailed it. All right, thank you. I appreciate the call. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take.
It is a little bit hard to believe with only 3 weeks left before the election that there's people out there who still haven't decided who they're going to vote for. But maybe they're waiting for their favorite celebrity to weigh in. Maybe that's what's going on here. That's the topic we're talking about here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Scott from Laverne writes in, those that take their voting cues from celebrities are idiots. I like what Henry Rollins said in your show a few weeks back, that he as a celebrity is not arrogant enough to think that he is more knowledgeable than you are when it comes to your vote. More celebrities need to take that stand and just STFU about elections of which they are not experts. Which I might agree with, except Octomom looks like she's pretty clued in.
She does. She really has done the research. So she's for the president. I'm for the president. All right. Let's take a couple more calls. How about Amber? She's going in a different direction on line three, and she joins us here on K-Rock. Hi, Amber. Thanks for calling us.
Good morning, party people. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
How do celebs affect your voting?
I actually do the opposite. I go by who I hate as a celebrity and vote the opposite.
Oh, I see. So you're not a big Lindsay Lohan fan. You find out she's going for Mitt Romney. You go for Obama.
Right, like I can't stand Jay-Z. I know he endorses Obama, so I'm headed the other direction.
How can you not stand Jay-Z? What's wrong with you?
I like old school Jay-Z, not new school Jay-Z. He's changed.
Okay, all right.
So that's how Barack Obama lost your vote, is because Jay-Z started doing raps you didn't like.
Partially.
Okay. All right, hey, look, it makes perfect sense to me. Thank you, Amber.
We're actors. If we didn't exist, how would people know who to vote for?
Exactly. Hey, that's an excellent point, true. Let's take Ben real quick. Ben's on line two. Hey, Ben. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you do? Hello? Hey, Ben.
We lost Ben.
Producer Dave, by the way, tipped us off to something that I did not know existed. You know these super PACs that have been so controversial? It's basically a way to funnel a lot of money into a campaign without having to declare it.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, celebrities have gotten together, and there is a celebrity super PAC now that is going to try to influence elections this year. Which I can't even believe I haven't heard too much about this in the lamestream media. But we asked Dave to line us up somebody from the Celebrity Super PAC, and I believe we have their spokesperson, Michael Hunt, joins us on the phone now. Can I call you Mike?
Oh, my goodness. Of course you can. I'd love for you to call me Mike Hunt.
All right, Mr. Hunt. The Celebrity Super PACs, did I describe it accurately? What's going on? Celebrities are getting together, and they're trying to influence the election, right, with money
Absolutely.
And also...
Okay. This is a way for celebrities who have lots of money, don't you know, to be able to funnel it into their favorite candidate's candidacy without having to look like they're contributing a lot of money to that candidate.
I see.
I understand. Now,
bipartisan group, by the way. We contribute money both to the Republicans and the Democrats and the Libertarians and the Green Party and the Nazis and the Jedi. There's all kinds of groups we give money to.
Can you tell us what celebrities are part of the pack?
Well, they're all here, you know. We're having a meeting today, as a matter of fact.
Fantastic.
What good timing for you to call.
That's great news.
Celebrities who happen to be here in the room at the same time.
Would you mind if we talked to some of them?
Oh, of course. Mr. Schwarzenegger, there's a phone call.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, wow, Arnold is there. That's great.
Hey, how are you doing? How's it going? With Kevin and Bean, it's that's hard you're talking to me.
It is hot. Listen, Mr. Schwarzenegger, we'll only keep you for 1 second. We're just trying to update our list of which celebrities are endorsing which candidates. Who can we put you down for, sir?
Well, I'm absolutely 100% behind Mitt Romney.
Okay.
Yeah, he's my candidate. Not only because we share the same fiscally responsible plans and ideas, but also because he has binders full of women.
Yes, he does.
That's so awesome. I'll be able to go to his house and just look through the binders and say, yes, I want to put seed inside of that one and that one, and just I could pick them out like a baseball cards or something.
That seems a little selfish on your part.
Yeah, that's hot.
Okay.
We did learn that last night about the binders. Right, hand the phone to somebody else there at the Celebrity Super PAC, would you, Governor?
Ooh,
Mr. Pacino.
Al Pacino.
Oh, how you doing this morning, fellas?
We're doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm so excited about the election.
Okay, good. Ooh, now, which side are you coming down on?
I'm going to vote for Barack Obama.
Okay.
All right. Got you for president.
Who's the president of the United States?
Right.
Now, would you mind saying why? How did you arrive at that decision, Mr. Pacino?
Absolutely. Because... he's the only guy I've ever been able to beat in basketball.
Oh, all right.
I'm not tall.
No, you're not.
Yes, you're kind of a little guy. All right.
Pretty short.
Got you down for Mr. Obama. Who else is there with you, Al?
Oh, hold on a second.
All right.
Hey, Walken, they want to talk to you.
Oh, Christopher Walken.
Oh, wow. Great. This is quite a meeting.
Hello.
Hey, Christopher Walken.
Hello. Anonymous DJs.
It's Kevin and Bean.
Kevin and Bean.
Yes.
A pleasure to talk to you.
It's great to have...
politics.
Politics, right. Yeah, you're part of the Celebrity Super PAC. Who should we put you down for, sir?
I'm voting for Barack Obama.
Okay.
Mr. Obama as well, okay.
Yes, because I think his wife, Michelle, has a great ass.
Okay.
That Anne is too skinny for me.
Right.
I want to see a beefy black ass in the White House.
But Christopher, you're not going to be able to hit that, are you?
No, but I can look.
Okay, all right.
But
okay.
I can fantasize.
Okay,
all right.
About
that's
ass.
More,
all right,
all right. That's
love
more
ass.
Than we.
You do love ass.
All right.
Okay.
All right. I think we maybe only have time for one more celebrity. Is there somebody else nearby you can hand the phone to?
Hey, Sean. Why don't you get on the phone, Sean?
Oh no!
Oh, oh no!
Oh no!
Who's
have your
this?
Finger on the button.
Hello.
It's
who's
Kevin.
This?
Kevin and Bean.
What the hell do you want?
We want to know.
We're busy here doing important actor politics things.
Now,
sounds like it.
Now, you're not an American citizen, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm a citizen of Scotland.
Okay. All right.
All right. So
you have
can't
a problem with that?
Well, no, you're
no,
just you're
no,
part
not
of the celebrity super PAC.
That's right, because I'm trying to influence American policy.
Okay.
I see.
Not actually
okay.
being an American myself.
I see.
I see. So you can't vote, but you can certainly funnel your money and your endorsement toward the candidate of your choice.
That's right.
All right, who are you going with, Mr. Connery?
I'm going for Mitt Romney.
Mitt
okay.
Romney, all right.
Yes. Why?
Because we millionaires need to stick together.
I see.
And I want to keep as much money as possible.
Okay.
All right.
And Romney really knows how to treat a woman.
Is that right?
He knows that giving her the back of your hand isn't the worst thing you can do once
oh,
in a while.
No, that's not, that whoa. Hasn't been established at all, Sean.
Take
that's...
the contraception out of their hands and give them a good ultrasound once in a while, you know?
Nope.
Just get out that wand.
Nope.
Make it,
no,
I think... make it mandatory.
No, I don't think that's...
see what's going on up there.
I don't think
hello,
that's how you...
Hello, hello, hello. Put on one of those miner's helmets and let's go spelunking.
Oh, no.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show. We were just talking about if celebrities make a difference in your voting, and somebody tweeted me that they, if they could, mm-hmm. may consider writing in Adam Carolla for president
wow.
of
yeah.
the United States.
How about that? We always say one day Carolla's going to run things and the world's going to be a better place. Maybe now's the time, Adam.
Let me tell you, when I'm in charge, people.
Is that it?
No
dot, dot, dot. Adam is on stage tonight at the Irvine Improv. Tickets are on sale for just $25, and you can see him Saturday, October the 27th, with his good friend Dennis Prager at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. Don't forget to order your Mangria. It is sweeping the nation, selling it by the bottle or by the 12-pack through adamcarolla.com. Hey, real quick, before we get to the Week in Rage, very disappointed to not see you on the list of the returning contestants on the All-Star Celebrity Apprentice. Ace, what happened?
I have no idea how that works. I guess I bitched and moaned about how miserable I was on so many interviews that maybe they took notice, or maybe I just sucked enough. I don't know. But speaking of that, I did see the picture. You know, they do the class picture at the beginning of the thing.
Right.
Uh-huh. And there was Dee Snider throwing the devil horns.
Right.
And yeah. I thought, first off, once you hit 55, don't you have to retract the devil horns? And then I thought, has anyone who's ever seriously thrown them, Bret Michaels threw them out too, as well as Dee Snider. I thought, has anyone who's ever actually rocked thrown the devil horns?
Interesting.
I mean, I'm sure Dave Grohl has done it, but in a mocking fashion, as
right.
an irony. But
right.
is there any pictures of Jimi Hendrix or Pete Townsend doing it? You know what I mean? Like, is anyone who's actually rocked a day in their life who throws the devil horns, every picture?
They don't need it. If you're Jimmy Page, you don't need to throw the devil horns because you're the guy in Led Zeppelin, right?
That's right. And your double neck guitar forms the devil horns.
Yeah! Yeah! There it is. Get it on. Time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with a hypothetical at number three and working my way up to number one. Hypothetical, I just stumbled across this on my podcast. I was thinking about bigger loner, a guy you'd like to hang out with less. I'll give you two the choice.
All right.
Recumbent bike guy. Guy's always alone, never in a pack, always going solo around Griffith Park there on Forest Lawn Drive.
Right.
Or, you don't think I can find a bigger loner than that guy?
No.
I'm about to. Guy who walks along the beach with the metal detector.
Yeah.
There's never a gaggle of those guys. Is there ever like four guys
nope.
and then one guy goes, Herb, hurry up, you're falling behind.
There's
Let's
never
go.
Even two. No.
Never even seen two.
No.
It's like they can't even get within a 100-mile radius of each other. They would duel with those things.
Plus, they're wearing headphones, so they cannot possibly communicate with any other human being.
That's
there's
true.
No, yes, there's no interaction whatsoever. They're never in a group. But which is the bigger loner? Who would be the more boring guy to go to dinner with? metal detector on the beach guy or recumbent bike guy?
I can't take my own life?
Oh, that's okay, a tough choice. Yes. There's a third category. And let me just ask this. Have you ever lost anything of real value at the beach?
Like, no.
You ever went like, oh, what happened to that beautiful sterling silver serving tray you used to have? I lost it at the beach. I took it to the beach. It was stupid of me. Where's that gold chalice you used to have displayed? Yeah, I lost it in the sand. You know what you lose at the beach? You lose pot and chapstick.
Yeah.
Those are the two things you lose at the beach. Neither one can be detected with the metal detector.
That's true. You bring a dog if you want the pot.
Yeah. What is it that you lose at the beach that's so goddamn valuable? I mean, that guy may dig up an Italian horn from like 1979. But really, what's that going to fetch you on eBay? You know what he's saying? He's saying, I'm going to put these earphones on. I'm tuning out the world.
Yep.
Everyone leave me alone. I don't even think there's a battery in that thing. I think it's just a mop handle that's painted silver with like a screen on the bottom, and he's just wearing headphones that are tied around his belt buckle.
I like it.
That's it. Leave me alone, world. Number two, we got Halloween coming up. I am now, I got a six-year-old daughter. She's on her third outfit. She needs an outfit for school. Katy Perry, by the way.
Right.
You know, oh, wow.
That's a very positive message to the young lad.
Sure.
And then she's got an outfit for the after-school Halloween party, and then she needs a third one for trick-or-treating.
Why can't she double up on one of those?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I yelled J-Lo changes her outfits less when she hosts the Latin Grammy. I think she knew what I meant.
I don't think she did.
I don't think she did. She gave me a look like, I hear you, old man.
Yeah.
I got that reference. But remember when we were kids and it was pretty much you made your own outfit?
Like,
you know, here's some cardboard and some baling wire and a Sharpie. You're the three of clubs. Knock yourself out. Try not to catch on fire.
And that's what you wore to school, and that's what you wore on Halloween night, and that's what you wore the next day if there was a party. That was just your outfit for the season.
You had one for the season, and then every third season, your mom would go, hey, remember when you went as the three of clubs back before you had pubes? That seemed to work out pretty nicely. Yeah, go ahead and iron out that cardboard and give it another shot. You didn't go and spend $300 on outfits for your six-year-old.
Yeah.
Oh, so sad.
If only you had some say in that, Adam, as her father.
Oh, my God. I could only imagine how that would go over. Hey, here's some construction paper. Make your own outfit this year, sweetie. Yeah, here's a knee. I'll put it in your groin. Last but not least, number one, I've said it before, but this time we missed a golden opportunity. This space shuttle that we dragged from LAX all the way through downtown, we missed an opportunity, people. Take it down the 405, take it to the Mexican border, and do some nice, slow, shame-filled victory laps. You guys want something like this? How about a little less narco trafficking and a little more study hall? And by the way, we're done with this baby. It's too old for us.
We're just going to throw it away.
We're just going to put it up on blocks. I'll tell you what, if the upholstery goes south, maybe you guys come down and get a gig. But the point is we don't. This is our 8-track. You understand? Antiquated technology. Tired of flying around the moon in this bad boy. So hit the books, baby. Put down the tequila and hit the books, and you too can have one of these.
How do you like us now?
How do you like us now?
The Adam Carolla podcast, of course, is available through adamcarolla.com, but that's nothing compared to seeing him live on stage tonight at the Irvine Improv. Tickets available for just $25. Showtime is 8 o'clock, and don't miss Adam with Dennis Prager on October the 27th down in Redondo Beach at the Performing Arts Center. And please order your mangria, an outstanding holiday treat at adamcarolla.com. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you next
time. Thanks, guys.
Showbiz news time. Here's Ralph Garman.
Yes, here I am. I don't know if you guys heard it or not, but it's official.
What?
The X Factor has announced Khloe Kardashian and Mari Lopez are their hosts. We're all very excited.
I thought we already knew that.
I thought it was official before.
I thought they
were
fighting.
It wasn't official. It was leaked. It was leaked.
Ah.
But now it's actually out in the open. And Simon said, I couldn't be happier. And I said, you couldn't be dumber.
He's lying.
We've all said something. While we're talking about reality television, you only have a few more weeks to audition online for American Idol. Show's accepting video auditions from singers who must be between the ages of 15 and 28. As of June 5th this year, they started accepting them, and you can only enter with one song. You have to sing a cappella, and you have to get the video into AmericanIdol.com by November the 4th is the deadline. So if you want to be America's next idol, you got your chance online, but you got to do it now. Come on, get on it. Anyone?
No.
No. You know that reality show, since we're talking about reality shows, Hell's Kitchen?
I know of it.
Gordon Ramsay, British.
He just yells at everybody?
Genius chef, yells at a lot of people who want to be cooks.
Okay.
This is barely an idea for a reality show. NBC has announced their new drama, The Inferno. A drama set in New York City in a restaurant with an over-the-top chef who makes the restaurant the talk of the town while talking down to his own staff. New on NBC, The Inferno.
That is not real.
That is going to be a show.
Did you check if that's on The Onion?
It is not. It is real.
Come on.
Deadline.com says The Inferno will go into production soon.
If they're naming it The Inferno, they're not even pretending that it's a fictionalized version of Hell's Kitchen, right?
No. They're just slapping it out there.
And they have a British guy who screams at everybody?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
The Inferno.
And Dane Cook's show was so bad it wouldn't get on the air.
That's right. They're replacing this with Dane Cook's show. Bob Dylan has a new boss. He's working for Johnny Depp.
What are you talking about?
Johnny Depp has his own publishing company now called Infinitum Nihila.
All right.
Which is Latin for nothing lasts forever. And he is currently in the midst of signing up authors. Bob Dylan is the first author with Johnny Depp's new publishing imprint.
Hmm.
His book will be called The Unraveled Tales of Bob Dylan. And it's going to be on stands in 2015, as soon as someone can translate what Bob's been saying and make it English and write it down. It's going to take a team of linguistics experts 3 years to hammer that out. But
does it say whether it's a work of fiction?
No, it is based on Bob's life.
Okay. Wow.
Based on a series of interviews done with an historian named Douglas Brinkley. And Bob will tell the tales, and Douglas Brinkley will try to understand what he's saying. So.
That's interesting, because, of course, he already has that ongoing autobiographical series, the Chronicle series, with another major New York publisher. That sounds like this would be a conflict.
Oh, yeah, we know. We know all about Bob Dylan's
right
books
on
of love. And have you ever heard of a guy named Dick Dale, legend of the surf guitar?
Yeah, yeah, I sure saw him at the Canyon Club.
Famously did a song called Miserloo, which if you don't know the song from surf rock, you probably know it from the movie Pulp Fiction.
Oh, sure.
That theme has become famous. Quentin Tarantino used
I wouldn't have known the name, but yeah.
He is in the news today because his ex-wife and his son have been arrested.
Uh-oh.
By the cops in the desert town of 29 Palms in California. If you've ever driven through 29 Palms, you know it is aptly named because literally all it is 29 trees and somebody's trailer. And apparently the trailer belongs to the ex-wife of Dick Dale. He, his ex-wife and his kid, James, were arrested for blowing up a gas tank in public.
What?
Yeah. They took a 5-gallon propane tank and put it on top of a bonfire and then shot the tank with a gun, making it explode.
That sounds awesome.
This is what people do in the desert towns for fun. This is what I'm telling you.
I mean, that sounds irresponsible.
Yeah. They are both being held on $500,000 bail each. Dick Dale was called by the LA Times for a comment, and he said, "I haven't seen my ex-wife in 12 years, and my son only calls me when he needs money."
Nice.
So, I don't think he's going to be bailing them out anytime soon. But people just putting 5-gallon propane tanks on fires and then shooting them so they explode.
That sounds awesome.
It's not awesome, Kevin.
That sounds irresponsible.
That's what they do when they're taking a break from making meth in 29 Palms. This is how they entertain themselves. Madness. Madness, I say. Today's celebrity birthdays. Wyclef Jean is 40 years old today. Rapper Eminem is 40. Ziggy Marley turns 44 years old. Norm McDonald's 49. Mike Judge from King of the Hill and Beavis and Butthead and Office Space is 50. Rob Marshall, director of the Oscar-winning Chicago, amongst other films, is 52. Richard Roper, the movie critic, is 53. George Wendt of Cheers is 64. And one of my favorite performers in the world, Michael McKean, from all the Christopher Guest movies, including This is Spinal Tap, one of the best movies ever.
He is 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Am I crazy that I wanted to see Jack White on that list that Ralph was doing the other day of the greatest guitarists in the world?
No, you're not crazy.
He's unbelievable on that thing. That is from Blunderbuss, Jack White, here on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 9:37. Ralph joins us for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday. What's going on?
You're crazy, man. That's what everybody says.
What?
That's the only bean to think he's not crazy.
Oh, I see.
Can't let him off the hook.
Beyonce will be the halftime entertainment at the Super Bowl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No.
Woo!
Better than some old rock band that sucks.
Excuse me, those aren't the other options. Does she play an accordion and sing Fat?
I believe she does not.
Well, then I'm not interested in hearing about her for the Super Bowl halftime show.
February 3rd at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans. Beyonce will be performing.
Yeah. Very disappointed. I thought this was going to be Al's year.
But she's hot.
She is hot. Look, she's talented. She's got it going on.
Yeah. Sure. Rather see Jay-Z, but... All right.
If she, oh, never mind.
What, Ralph?
No.
What?
No, I'm good.
Let him reconsider me.
No, I'm good. Amanda Bynes is an excellent driver.
But are you as excited as you would have been had it been Weird Al being announced for the halftime show?
I don't think anyone would be as excited as you be.
Yeah.
Right, but what about you guys? Tell me honestly, if the news came out instead of Beyonce was doing the show, it was Weird Al, wouldn't you be more excited than you are?
Yes.
I would,
that's all I'm saying. Yeah, sure. That's all I'm saying is this is a disappointing choice.
All right. Take it easy.
You get it. You like Weird Al.
And everyone likes Weird Al.
All right, understood.
In my defense, I'd be more excited if Eddie Money had been chosen to be the halftime entertainment than Beyonce.
That would have been a disaster.
So, I mean, there's a lot of people I would have liked to have seen other than Beyonce. So I'm just saying. Amanda Bynes is an excellent driver.
She's not.
Oh, yeah, she is. That's what her attorney says.
Oh.
Her attorney entered a not guilty plea to 2 counts of driving on a suspended license in Burbank, California yesterday. Listen, hey, we know she was driving, and we know that her license was suspended. How dare you enter a not guilty plea? Stop that. Stop it. The actress didn't attend the hearing, but she's due back in court on the 29th of November to address her DUI and hit-and-run charges, so they speculate she will be in court for those. Former TLC star Kate Gosselin of Kate Plus 8 fame has been fired from her job as a blogger at Coupon Cabin.
What?
I don't know what
kind
that
of job is
what that's about. She wrote a blog for a website called CouponCabin.com.
And she's been fired?
Yes.
She was bad at it?
And say what?
Simply not a good fit, says the CEO. Wish her all the best. He said as I kicked her ass out the door.
That means I hate you, woman.
Now, apparently, the problem was that she was making outrageous demands and thought she could do whatever she wanted due to the fact that she used to be a celebrity.
Oh, man, don't you know who I am disease?
Yeah.
Oh,
she
no.
She thinks she's still... She hasn't heard about Honey Boo Boo, I guess. I guess she thinks she's still somebody and the people still care, which they don't. And she was impossible to work with, so they gave her the boot. So now she's unemployed. Kate, by the way, of course, still shopping a new reality show. No one seems interested.
Open up a blog.
She did. It didn't work. You know what's going to be great, though? Very exciting news today. More exciting than Weird Al playing the Super Bowl.
We decided we might need to go through this, Ralph.
Might need to go through what?
If you're doing the story, I think you're doing. R. Kelly?
Yeah. R. Kelly has announced he has revealed the date that he will release new Trapped in the Closet chapters.
Yay!
November the 23rd will be the first of 20 new chapters in Trapped in the Closet. Remember how we used to wait breathlessly by our computers waiting for him to put the next chapter online?
Yeah.
When we found out the word would buzz through the building. Oh, there's a new one! There's a new one!
It was like a new Star Wars movie coming out. It was like the happiest day of the year for us.
November the 23rd, the day after Thanksgiving, often referred to as Black Friday, has never been blacker than it is this year.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
We just shot 20 chapters, R. Kelly told Time Magazine. They'll be out the day after Thanksgiving. Trapped in the Closet is forever. I've got like 100 chapters to come. He reiterated, Trapped in the Closet is forever.
Take it easy.
It's forever! He's like the Black Charlton Heston. Trapped in the Closet is forever!
You guys want to hear a little of Weird Al doing Trapped in the Drive-Thru? Because I have that
thing. No, I want to hear the real R. Kelly.
who has posted on IFC.com, if you want to check it out, a teaser episode where we get to see some of the storylines that we will be dealing with in future episodes of Trapped in the Closet.
Oh, is that my cue?
I would think so, yes.
Then Rosie and Randolph gets a call.
They get a call.
Then Tina and Roxanne gets a call.
Tina and Roxanne get a call.
Then Joey.
Yeah, hello.
Reverend Mosley.
Yeah, hello.
Big Man.
Dixie's.
James.
Yeah.
Pimp Lucius. Now they tried and tried and tried and tried, but there was no luck when it came to getting in touch with Chuck. Where are you, Chuck?
Where are you, Chuck?
So wait, so these are different people who are all calling all the individual people, or are they all being called?
These are friends from the previous episodes.
But all their phones are ringing at the same time?
Yeah, everyone's busy so they can't calling each other. Everyone's trying to find Chuck.
I can do 100 chapters
more. Have you seen Chuck?
If all they're doing is taking phone calls.
Pimp Lucius gets a call. Dixie gets a call. Big Man so gets a call.
So
Bridget
all those
gets a call.
People that he named, they're all calling each other. That's what's happening.
Oh. God.
They're not being called by somebody else.
Why do I need to get a Venn diagram to explain this to you?
Because this is too complicated. This is the most complicated pop song ever written.
It's everyone looking for Chuck. They're all calling each other. Have you seen Chuck? I haven't seen Chuck. Chuck is missing. Have you heard Chuck? And they're just talking. It's telephone. It's going back and forth.
Do you know where Chuck is?
I'm done. I'm out of here.
I'm asking.
No.
You're the guy.
That's an honest question.
I'm out of here. No one knows where Chuck is.
I don't know.
Did you hear the man?
We'll find out on the 23rd.
Did you hear the man?
I heard the man.
I did.
Did he say?
He didn't know.
Where are you, Chuck?
He did say that.
Well, that's how you know no one knows
all right.
where Chuck is.
Represent.
Good point, represent Lisa. Indeed, Lisa. Today's celebrity birthdays. Wyclef Jean is 40 years old today. Eminem is 40. Ziggy Marley, 44 years old. Norm Macdonald turns 49. Mike Judge, the creative genius behind King of the Hill and Beavis and Butthead and Office Space 50.
Hey, he cut Kevin and Bean out of King of the Hill. The guy knows what he's doing.
Smart man. Rob Marshall, talented director of Chicago and other films, is 52. Richard Roper, the movie critic, is 53. George Wendt of Cheers is 64. And one of my favorites, Michael McKean, who have got his big break, I guess, with Laverne and Shirley back in the day, but since has become a wildly successful actor, musician, composer, writer from Best in Show and all the other Christopher Guest movies, including
Smallville, too, by the way, let's not
this
forget.
This is Spinal Tap, that's right. He and his wife were both a big part of Smallville. 65 years old today, Michael McKean. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to ask you, how old were you when you quit peeing the bed? We found out that Beer Mug quit, I think, last week.
Yeah.
Now, Beer Mug was 11.
That's why I wear flip-flops. My shoes are always soggy.
He was 11, and his parents had a pee alarm. They put an alarm.
Everything I learn about him just makes it worse.
He'd be sleeping and it would, oh, no. Not again.
Forget my ignorance, but how old are you usually when you quit wetting the bed?
I went to bed until I was about 7, I guess, 6 or 7.
About 7? So 11's pretty late.
11's way late.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's Beer Mug late. So we'll talk to you about that tomorrow. We have Michael Schneider on from TV Guide. He's an editor talking about the new TV shows, the ones that are succeeding, the ones that are failing.
Okay.
We have a brand new internet roundup for you, and we have Dr. Drew on tomorrow morning's all-new.